Timing isn't the important thing. It's nothing more than the punctuation mark on the end of your life. It's everything that came before that matters. Punctuation marks, most people skip right over them. They don't even have a sound.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast with a bunch of people that love books and started in a book club and wanted to continue this conversation while we're spread across the country. And this week, we have a special guest, which you might have heard reading our quote. So say hi to Caitlin, another Caitlin.
Hello, everyone. Yes, it's another Caitlin B. Not confusing at all.
Don't worry. The original Caitlin's still here. And you may be wondering why Casey is not. It's because Casey refused to read this book. So other Caitlin is actually the host of the book club we were all in when we were all in Kansas City. We're still both in that book club. And Catherine had suggested what she said was the Goodreads book of the year. And turns out it was the Goodreads horror book of the year, but we read it anyway. Catherine didn't at the time, so this is payback. She's reading it now.
I know, and I feel bad.
Casey listened to our book club discussion and thought it was so weird she wouldn't read it. So we brought in Caitlin, the leader of our book club, to discuss it with us for spooky season.
Yes, I was subjected to this book.
I just want to say I'm sorry. Goodreads was over-suggesting this to me, so I just assumed it would be good, and then it takes a weird turn to say
that's the whole premise of the podcast, is we're debunking the stuff social media is shoving down our throats. So it works, and it fits perfectly into spooky season. So
you're welcome.
Yeah.
True.
So I'll go ahead and clue you in. This is The Final Girl Support Group by Grady Hendrix.
So this book is your culmination of all of the classic tropes of 1980s, 1990s horror films. So it's the final girl who is the girl that survives by the end of the horror film and ends up most likely killing the murderer or the serial killer or the entity. And so they've joined together in their middle age to have this support group because they're all traumatized from their experiences, as one would be from everyone around you being murdered. And so they come together, and then suddenly one of the girls gets murdered in another instance of a final girl. And so she dies. And then suddenly all of these other things start happening to each of the other girls. And the book takes off from there as they try to figure out what is happening to them while also being traumatized people.
If you love slasher flicks, this is for you. I didn't catch 90% of the allusions in this book because that's not normally my genre. But before we dive in too deep, let's go ahead and pull reviews that we found online. Is there anyone who wanted to start?
I want Caitlin to go first.
Yeah, I'll start. So the overall Goodreads rating is a 3.57 out of 5. And as Catherine mentioned, part of why we picked this book was because it was recommended by Goodreads, or it was on Goodreads like best of list. And so I feel like 3.5 is pretty accurate. I picked a 3-star review that I felt like captured my thoughts well. This person said, "It's not often I find myself thinking a book would probably be better as a movie, but here we are. Brilliant idea. Okay-ish execution." And that's definitely how I felt. I'm not a horror reader, as I'm sure we'll get into. And so I was like very leery of reading this book, but I felt like the premise was super intriguing. And so I was excited to read something outside of my genre. And even going back and thinking about this book today in preparation for our conversation, I was reminded like this is a cool idea for a book. It would make a cool movie or even a mini series, but the execution for me just kind of fell flat.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of vibing along the same lines as you. However, the review I chose is a 1-star. There's one 1-star review that all it said was "what," and I felt that a little bit. But this one says DNF'd at 29% because, oh, honey, no, so messy in the first quarter, and I honestly do not have the patience to wait for it to pick up and get my interest going. Interesting premise, but that is truly it. Now, I don't totally agree with that because, like, I finished the book, but it is slow at first. And part of the issue with getting into it is there are a lot of characters and it's an unreliable narrator. And honestly, I couldn't even figure out the narrator's name for, like, multiple chapters. So I understand some of the comments in that review.
Yes, that drove me crazy. It wasn't obvious who the narrator was for a while.
Yeah, no, it especially because there's so many names to remember and so many characters to remember. And it, like, I saw the review you were talking about, Caitlin, and it made me think, because we've been discussing books that all have, like, character point of view changes, this book would have almost benefited from a character point of view change, because then you would know the psyche of the person and learn their name quicker.
Yeah, so that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. This would be better as a multiple perspective book. Although I still think I would have trouble keeping up with the characters. There's so many characters.
And they're all so wild. I'm not sure I want inside all of their heads.
True.
Okay.
A Chrissy perspective would be interesting.
Crazy Chrissy would have, yeah, that would have been funny.
I was thinking more along, like, Heather lines.
Heather would have been interesting.
She would have been good, yeah.
I can't even remember the last girl, but it's fine. Anyway, I went to Amazon and found a 2-star review, which the title of the review is just Welp. So this is what she said. Meg, okay, listen, I love Grady's first 2 books, which I've never read any of them, so disclaimer there. He became one of my favorite authors very quickly with those 2 books. But honey, on every single page, there are these constant repetitive phrases, because I'm a final girl, because that's what final girls do. Final girls know this or know that. I can't. And this is, I totally agree with the statement, because it felt cliche towards part of it, because it was just constantly repeating, like, I'm a final girl, I'm a final girl. And maybe that was, like, a part of it I didn't totally understand with the horror slasher flick, but I felt like it was a little much at times.
All right. So, like Caitlin said, overall Goodreads rating, 3.57 out of 5. Amazon, 4.1 out of 5. We've noticed Amazon tends to be higher. I think it's a different, you know, group of people who use Goodreads in Amazon. But where did you guys fall in there?
So I went back and I looked at what I had logged it as in my Goodreads, and I logged it as a 3-star. I think that in book club, I gave it a 2.5, but if I'm in between, I'll round up on Goodreads to be nice, because I feel bad for the author. And so for me, like, if a book is a 2-star, then I'm probably going to DNF it. And so I did keep going. Like, I did want to find out what was going to happen, but overall it was not really for me. So I gave it a 2.5.
Yeah. I had something similar to you, Caitlin, where, like, basically through the first 75-50%, I was like at a 2.5. I think I rounded up to a 3 eventually, because I'm a lot more stingy with my stars. And I don't care if I'm not being nice. So I ended up giving it a 3, because I thought the ending was really well done. And I was surprised by part of the ending. I guess part of the ending, half of it, I did not guess at all. So I think I gave kudos to the author for surprising me.
Yeah, the ending can really take a turn for me on my rating.
I would agree with you two on that. I looked back and I gave it 3 stars on Goodreads. I am not a huge fan of an unreliable narrator, especially when they're as chaotic as this one. So I think that really would have pushed me down to a 2. However, there was some humor that I appreciated. And I'm like you, like, the ending kind of gave me that little boost to bump it up, because it did tie together nicely, sort of, and was, like, surprising. And I don't know. It was a 3. It's very, like, I probably wouldn't have picked it up on my own if it weren't for book club. Thanks, Catherine, for forcing us to read that. And I don't know, it was good to get out of my comfort zone, but, like, probably wouldn't recommend it or reread it.
I will say, I've been seeing this book everywhere when I go to Barnes & Noble. Like, it's all over the horror, like, Halloween. It's, like, their front main thing that they're selling. So, obviously, there's a genre.
Because it's got a good cover. This cover. It does. It's very spooky.
And there's another book called The Final Girls.
Yeah.
So I don't know if people who have read that one are like, oh, maybe this is similar, you know? So I see both pop up a lot.
Yeah, I think that one's by Riley Sager, which is a common like thriller slasher writer. I haven't read any of those. I'm just familiar. Yeah, the ending for me, I see, I'm sure we'll talk more about it. I see what you guys are saying about like the ending did tie together nicely. The ending got so gory for me that like it didn't turn around because it was too violent for me. Like I felt like the book just got more violent as it went. And so I had a hard time with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. See, I don't think I'd want to see it on a screen.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch it.
No, I think it's better a movie, like you said, or a TV series, just because the characters, then you wouldn't have so much disjointed. You could put a face to the name.
But I personally wouldn't watch it.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know. I don't think it was. This is me coming after reading Mexican Gothic first and then this one. This one's not as gory as Mexican Gothic. So
really?
They're different kinds of gory.
I won't be reading that one. I haven't read that, but I looked up like the premise of it. So I know like what the reveal is. And oh, no. I would like, I want to know about this book, but this is a busy girl at book club, like perfect example. And I'd seen kind of like, I don't know, varying opinions on that book. And so I decided to like, I actually listened to a podcast where they talked about it. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to take the time to listen to this or to read this, but I am intrigued. And so I know what happens.
But they're different gory.
It was that gory, yeah.
I would say less gore, more just like, ew.
Gross.
Trigger it's warning.
Gross, yeah.
Yeah, this is like straight up slasher flick 80s horror.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the premise of Final Girls, and we've talked about the chaotic cast of characters. Do you think this book is more plot or character driven?
I was thinking about that, and I think one positive about this book is that it is a little bit both. I love a book that is both character and plot driven. It's plot driven as far as like, you want to know what's happening. Like you want to know who is after them, you know, are these things connected? That really drives you to keep reading. But with the unreliable narrator, I think it's character driven as well, because you're trying to like figure out Lynette, where you're like, she's crazy. And so her character is developing over the book, or at least that's what I thought.
I think it is a little of both, but I think I'd have to lean towards plot, because without the plot, Lynette would be like the worst character ever. She's an agoraphobic who never leaves her house.
Yeah.
So I think the plot drives her character development.
Yeah.
And if it was just a book about Lynette, I would not have kept reading.
No.
Yeah. The plot's driving like car essentially forward, metaphorically and figuratively.
Agreed.
Have y'all read other books by this author? I know I said I haven't, but
I haven't. I like was familiar with the Southern Book Club's Guide to Vampire Slaying. I think Slaying Vampires, something like that. I had heard of that and had like seen it on Bookstagram and stuff, but I hadn't read it.
Yeah, I'd heard of a few of them, but I don't typically pick up horror. I'm more of a thriller if I'm going to pick up something dark, and this is straight up like the epitome of the horror genre. So I have not picked up his other books because they're all along the same lines.
Yeah. I might be interested in the vampire slaying one, the Southern Girl's Guide to Vampire Slaying or something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got a good cover too.
Mm.
They all do. That's how they get you. And that's how it makes them look so good. And then you read them, you're like, what just happened?
Yikes.
So overall, like, we're all kind of wishy-washy on the book, but what about the pacing? Like, how did that play into how you consumed it?
Well, as you know, it took me like 3 months to finally finish it. We were supposed to read it for book club earlier this year, and I've finished it 2 days ago, so it took me a while to finish it, but once I like set my mind to it, I could finish it, but it wasn't one that was easy for me to read. It wasn't like something I would put down and really want to pick up again. It was like an active thought of me picking it up again.
Yeah, same. It took me, I think, 3 weeks to read it, which like I only had a month to read it in preparation for book club. And I really like had to like make myself read it because I knew I was going to have to lead a discussion for book club about it. And so, yeah, if I didn't have that as a motivator, it would have been even harder for me to get through it. Although I will say, I want to say the last fourth of the book, I flew through pretty quick. And I feel like that's common with a lot of books for the first half to be a little slow and then for it to pick up in the second half.
Yeah, I think I read it in a couple days because it is short. Mm-hmm. And I did have a deadline, but I also kind of just wanted to get it done. So I think it almost helped me enjoy it more because I wasn't putting it down as frequently. I was consuming it pretty quickly. So I thought it was paced well enough that if you like want to sit down and read it quickly, you can. But like if I had put it down and picked it back up, I probably would have been lost. So that's pretty much why I read it as fast as I did.
Also, another thing that I remembered, I will do a lot of reading before bed, and I didn't want to read this right before I went to bed because it was scary and like too violent to read right before I went to bed. And so I remember I like kind of struggled to find a good time to even read it in my day.
I think Catherine and I are too desensitized from working in news and liking true crime. So
I've listened to so much gorier stuff. Like you saying it's gory and stuff. I'm like, I've listened to like actual humans in true crime being murdered.
I'm like, this is a Criminal Minds episode. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, I cannot. I'm a wimp.
Yeah. But I think I actually read it in the morning. Like I finished it. Like I read the last 50% of it was just Saturday morning in my bed. I was just like, okay, I'm just going to finish it. So I don't think I ever read it at night, honestly.
I do sort of regret reading Mexican Gothic at night. And that's not usual for me. So I understand.
I regret listening to it on audiobook.
Yeah. And we talked about, would this be good TV or movie? I think consensus is it could be a good movie, but like not for us.
Yeah.
Like I read some reviews that were really stoked about all the different allusions to like Friday the 13th and Scream and Nightmare on Elm Street, all of which I've never seen. So those people would probably love a movie about this. The premise, like we said, is super unique and interesting. Just not for us.
Yeah, there's probably like a random cable channel that this would be perfect for.
Like a cult classic brought out only on Halloween, that kind of thing.
Ion.
Yes. Yeah.
A loaded question. We always do this, but I feel like in this book, it's more loaded than usual. Did you like have a favorite character or a favorite line? All the characters are a little bit crazy from their trauma, but is there anyone you specifically really enjoyed?
Can I say a plant? I really liked Fine.
I was trying to remember what his name was. I'm glad that you remembered. Oh, gosh. I know. I feel like this, you know, besides the like gore and the horror part, I think that this was part of my problem with the book is like, I really need to have at least one character in a book that I like really like or connect with or want to root for. And I probably should have been rooting for these girls, but I just like did not connect with any of them. It was a struggle. And I feel bad because most of that is because they've been through a lot of trauma, but they were just difficult people.
Well, and to be fair, this book, they're a lot older in this book, which is not normal for like books that we read. Normally, most of the women that we're reading about are in their 20s or 30s, and they're probably in their like 40s or 50s. So maybe it's an age gap issue as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm like you, like I couldn't relate to any of them because I am not a final girl, thank goodness, but I don't know.
I feel sorry for anyone that relates to these ladies.
Right. Absolutely hope no one relates to these ladies pretty much. But I think if I had to pick a final girl that was my favorite, I think I'd pick Dani because she was just kind of like consistently well-grounded and was as much as she could be in trying to figure everything out, and had a love interest, which none of the others did. And so I think, I don't know, I was rooting for her more than the others, I think.
Okay, well, we've given our quality rating. What is y'all's busy girl rating?
I would say like a 2. If you're into horror, probably like a 5. Like, it's short and it definitely hits the mark on horror. But if you're just seeing it on Goodreads like us, I wouldn't spend a lot of my time reading it, probably, because I just think it mislanding some key blows for me and just isn't my genre.
Yeah, this is a no for me. And again, it might be different if this is your genre, but if this wasn't for book club, I definitely would have, I mean, one, I wouldn't have picked it up in the first place. And if I did, for whatever reason, I would have DNF'd it. And that's part of why I don't read horror, is because, you know, I only have so much time to read. And so, you know, I want to read books that I love. And I just know that the horror genre is not going to be books that I love.
So surprisingly, the person who took longest to read it is going to give it the highest busy girl rating. I'm going to give it a 3 along with my quality rating, just because I would say the last 50% of it, I breezed through. I read it in one sitting. But the first 25% took me 3 months to read. So it's really just getting into it. And that's kind of one of my pet peeves with some books, is like too much lead up and not enough interest at the jump, which I think can be really hard for authors. And I'll give authors credit. Like, that's a very hard thing to do, and only some master that. So yeah, I'll give it a 3. I'm also not a horror genre person, but I do like scary movies, but I don't really watch a lot of classic horror.
If Casey was here, she would say it's not about just how easy it is to read. It's if you actually want to read it, which is why I'm at it too.
I mean, yes, that's fair. The reason why I'm giving it a 3, though, is that it's easy to read and I can see people actually liking it.
All right. So we've alluded to a lot of weird things in this book. So do we want to get to the spoiler alerts?
Let's do it.
So there are a lot of characters in this book. So what did you think of the group members as a whole, as individuals? Could you remember all of their stories, or could you even remember all of their names?
Oh yeah, I struggled to keep track of them, names and stories, because they also, like, they all had kind of their like final girl story. And sometimes Lynette, the narrator, would like refer to their slasher. And I'm like, I don't remember which guy that is. And so I had a really hard time keeping their stories straight. And plus, you know, then there were like some other, like then Chrissy gets brought in, and then there were multiple men that kind of came and went. And I'm a competent reader, and I struggled to keep all of those stories straight.
Right. I could generally be like, you're in a wheelchair, you're a drug addict, you're rich. Otherwise, I was so lost half the time. And like, I still, like, I finished the book and I couldn't really tell you what was going on in those women's lives other than the like actual plot of someone trying to take them out.
Yeah. As someone who just recently read it, I could tell you the general stories of like 3 of them, just because like they're mentioned a lot more. So Marilyn, the girl from Texas with the rich woman. Then you have like Heather, and then you have Lynette. Like, I could tell you those 3 pretty well, but then the rest of them is kind of like a hazy fog of who's who.
Of course you remember the Texan, you Texan.
Okay, she was also in the book a lot more than other characters.
She was, yeah. Like, Julia, I have no idea. Cannot remember anything about what she's the one in the wheelchair, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I don't remember anything about her story.
She like got pushed out a window, and that's all I remember.
Yeah, and then Heather, you know, we never really learned that much about her story. She kept like alluding to that it was really bad.
Well, because then we were in Crazy Chrissy's house, and like apparently the killer isn't in prison, and like it's some psychedelic like supernatural stuff is what it was alluded to. Yeah. Like almost follow-up book.
Oh, I was confused by that. And so her story was never clear to me.
I found a good article when I was refreshing myself where a woman who's really into the horror genre was like talking about the illusions. So Lynette is based off Jamie Lee Curtis's character in Halloween, where she's like an agoraphobic and stuck in survival mode. And then so Adrienne is the one who dies at the beginning. She's Friday the 13th, like the camp counselor massacre. And her real world film counterpart, Alice, is played by Adrienne King. So these are actually, I didn't even realize, like named after actors in the movies. Heather. He's the
guy that we missed.
Right. So Heather is Nightmare on Elm Street. So like kind of, yeah, this like psychedelic, maybe real, maybe not character. Marilyn is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then Julia is apparently Scream. And Julia's last name is Campbell, which is the same last name as the actress who plays the actress in that series.
Hmm.
So they're like huge franchises. I just wouldn't know. So maybe if you're like a fan of those franchises, you could better keep them straight. But I was lost.
No, that's definitely, that's interesting that they were named after the actresses. So like if you're a horror junkie, you for sure would know that. And that would be like,
and like cool not thing. All of them, but it's there.
Yeah. The only thing I know about Friday the 13th is Jason, because I keep seeing Jason masks all over the place for Halloween.
Well, okay. So I know one of their stories involved cannibals. I don't know which movie that is. I think
it's Marilyn, right?
Does Texas is Chainsaw?
That the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Is that cannibals? See, I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, because he like skins them. I think.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong. Movie,
but I'm pretty sure it was Marilyn that was the cannibalism.
Well, I probably won't watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre and find out, but.
Because I think I've seen spoofs of most of these films, which that's kind of sad that I've seen the spoof, but not the actual thing. But like, I think a spoof of Texas Chainsaw was Meat Locker, where it's like they found you in a meat locker with human meat. Anyway, off topic. That's all I remember from that. But yeah, so my next question is just like, what did you think about the homage to 1980 slasher films? Do you like these sort of films? Have you seen any of them, either of you?
I haven't seen a single one.
Nope.
I think the only movie I've seen slightly in this genre was I Know What You Did Last Summer. I remember I watched those in high school. And I think they were even old then.
I mean, I've seen like the excerpt from, you know, the shower scene from Psycho, but otherwise I really have nothing to do with this genre.
Yeah, I think we missed a lot, like in the reading experience, by not making all of those connections and Easter eggs. And I think you're right that we probably would have been able to keep the story straight if we were like making all of those connections.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of unfortunate, though, that like only people who like those movies could like truly like this book. I don't know if I love that. That's kind of the vibe.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he thought no one else would read it.
Well, we read it. Okay. So then the leader of the group is Dr. Carol. She's the psychiatrist that's treating all these patients, but also she's kind of profiting off of them, not going to lie, where she's like writing books about them and getting famous for being their therapist. What do you guys think of Dr. Carol? Did you think that she was a villain or a hero or just kind of this gray character in the beginning? What did you think of her like character arc?
At first I thought she was the murderer, but then she ended up just being a kind of really meh character to me. Like was making money off of them, was a therapist with a murderer in her own house who couldn't see it. Like, I don't know, I liked her more at the beginning than at the end. I think
I agree. Like I felt like It had to be everything that was going on. I felt like it had to be connected to her somehow. And I almost wished in the end that she had been more involved because, yeah, she ended up kind of being meh. Like her character was kind of there to like mislead you on thinking that it was going to be her. And then she ended up just kind of being a nothing sort of character.
Yeah. Cause like, I agree. Like the whole misleading thing, that was like literally her whole character arc was just her to be misleading for the actual killer. But like she was in places that how would she know that that person was there at that time? Like it seemed sinister. And thinking back, it still doesn't make a total sense why she was like at Stephanie's house at the same time Lynette was. Like it all doesn't add up to me that she wasn't in on it.
Well, and it's like the sheriff character. He's just kind of there to make you think maybe he's the murderer and mislead you. Or like even bringing Chrissy into it. It's all stuff just to confuse you, which it succeeded in confusing me because it just added more characters to the characters I already couldn't keep track of.
And Garrett was also a character that like profited off of the trauma of another person to make money in Hollywood.
Yeah,
it felt like Dr. Carroll was not really trying to help them. Like she had a facade of trying to help them, but I think that their group, I want to say that they'd been meeting for like 16 years at the beginning of the group. And it's at that point that the group is like starting to fall apart. And I'm like, I feel like if you're a really good therapist, like you would try to get some next steps for these women sooner than 16 years.
And not keep them meeting in Hollywood where like movies about their lives were made. I don't know. Like, I understand, like, the placement, like, the author did that intentionally, but it added to, like, kind of the skeeviness of the doctor.
Yeah, like, I don't know. 16 years seems like a long time to not see any progress in any of your patients' mental health.
Yeah, and she was, like, famous for her work with them, but I'm like, it doesn't seem that great.
Yeah. Like one of your people can't leave the house except for to go to these group meetings and has a cage around her and all she's got is a plant to talk to.
And has to take like a different stupid route every single time to avoid being followed, which turns out probably smart because she was being followed, but you didn't know that at the time. She was just paranoid.
She uses their trauma to profit off of it, but like let's talk about the portrayal of trauma in this book. So these characters all have gone through horrendous serial killings and have survived and seen their families murdered or their friends murdered. How did you think this author portrayed trauma, and do you think the different characters and how they dealt with trauma was accurate, or what did you think of that kind of portrayal?
I think it was a good wide response of how people deal with trauma. You know, you've got Lynette who's living with it. You've got Heather who's a drug addict. You've got, you know, what's the rich one's name already?
Marilyn.
Marilyn.
See, I can't keep them straight. You've got Marilyn who like is trying to overcome it with money. And Julia, like, maybe the only one maybe overcoming it. I don't know. Like, so they all have different reactions. And I think they're all like overplayed reactions, like over dramatized, but they're all real reactions to trauma.
I thought what was interesting was like Lynette was very angry that the other girls were not responding to their trauma in the same way that she was. Which I think is a lesson, you know, for us as well, that like, you know, the way that we process things is not going to be the same as somebody else. Where she was like really frustrated and felt like she was thinking of things like from a very logical standpoint and didn't understand why everyone else was not processing the same way that she was.
Right. And how they are all like, we're only still here because of you, because she was the only one who hadn't really figured out a coping mechanism.
Yeah, they all felt like the group was still around just to support Lynette, which was like crushing to her when they revealed that to her.
Although none of them were really coping that well.
I feel like you mentioned Heather or Julia was moving on, but I feel like Danny too, like she had like her farmhouse and was trying to create a new life with Michelle. And I think it was Danny in the beginning even that said that she wanted to quit group. Because yeah, she was ready to move on. But then Lynette was very angry that she was abandoning the group.
And then you have the added complexity of like, Lynette didn't kill the person who like caused her trauma. And then also all the other girls had people come back for like a second round to get them again. And they were final girls times two. So she was already kind of like not the same as the rest. And it just added. And also like, what are the odds of all of those girls going through like the double trauma the same way? And then making more movies off of it. I don't know. It seemed like a lot. Like, it wasn't just Final Girls. It was like Final Girls and Revenge.
See, it felt a little jumping the shark for me at that point.
I mean, it's a little bit like it. But when you think about it, they went through the original experience. People and the media and Hollywood profited off of that experience and created these horror films. And because of those horror films, you have copycat murders. And that like is a common thing in our country or in our society, where it's just, if it becomes trending, people tend to copy. Sure,
but to go after the same person again, and like in all of their situations.
All of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it gets a little.
For all of them.
Yeah. That's where it gets a little dicey. But technically, Lynette even went, it was a double feature for her too. It's just she got saved by the detective both times.
Yeah. And hers, honestly, super traumatic. Like, I understand why she's super busted up, but I don't know. I thought that was a weird dynamic to just like toss into this group of trauma riddled women. Just the fact that your trauma is not as important as mine because you didn't have to like kill off your attacker, you know?
Which I guess brings up the question of like, why did they like describe her as a victim instead of a final girl? And like, the whole premise of the book is that she then has her final girl experience by avenging or finding out that the therapist's son is the murderer or the mastermind, and then his crazy girlfriend, lover, weird internet relationship.
Young final girl, Gen Z, I don't know.
Yeah. So how
did y'all... like she wants to belong to this group and she only really achieves it by undergoing like another final girl experience with them.
Yeah.
It's a really weird way to kind of bring their friendship together. It's by like finally letting her be traumatized and kill someone.
Yeah, for real. Dr. Carol not doing her job.
Yeah.
No.
Well, then her getting mad about her writing a book and being like, you called me these things. And it's like, it's her own experience. She's allowed to feel these things. But yeah, I thought that was interesting about the final girl thing. I even wrote it as a question, but we already covered it. So we don't even have to go to that. Mm-hmm. What did you think about Lynette's writing the book? And that was kind of the whole catalyst for a lot of people not liking her and not trusting her, is that Sky, Dr. Carol's son, releases her book. We don't know it's Sky, but releases her book to all of the others. And she kind of criticizes all of the people in group or like psychoanalyzes, and writing was kind of her way of coping. But what did y'all think about her writing that book?
I think it should have just been a journal. I'm like, yeah, this is like a way of therapy, you know, like I feel like she could have processed all of that by journaling it out. You didn't need to make it a book. Although I think, wasn't it that she was like offered money for a book deal and she was going to do that, and then she decided not to. So, which, yeah, again, it just goes back to like profiting off of the trauma that they've gone through. So I don't know, like I understood the other girls' perspectives because like therapy is supposed to be confidential, but I also get where like it was probably helpful for Lynette to process all of that by writing it out.
Which surprised me because I didn't think it was in her character at all to process it. Like I thought that was the whole point of her character, is that she wasn't processing it. So when the book came up, I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, that didn't fit with the Lynette I had pictured.
So, yeah, she's so private too.
Yeah.
And it's almost like even like my questions are really disjointed for discussion question, because this book felt very disjointed and there was like a lot of random stuff that comes up, like her writing this book, and it feels like they're just inserted to move the plot forward or to create divisions almost.
So and it randomly inserts like the movie reviews and articles and things that honestly I'm not sure they add anything, and kind of broke it up and confused me more because I was trying to figure out whose story that one belonged to. So you're right, I think it was a little disjointed.
I skipped like half of those.
I didn't read any of them.
I did not read most of them. I like either skimmed it or skipped it.
Well, I read them all and I don't think any of them really added anything to the book. So you didn't miss anything.
A for effort, Caitlin.
You know, you told me to read it for book club, so I did.
You're welcome. Well, speaking of characters, there's one character that I think everyone who reads this book could come out with a whole, she's a whole lot, or Crazy Chrissy, or Crazy Christy. She is a whole lot, and how she psychoanalyzes human nature and buys up all this murderabilia. What did you guys think about her? Was she right about what she was thinking about human nature? And what did you think about her shrine or rooms to these final girls?
I didn't hate her character. I felt like that like part was interesting, although it was like the most creepy part. I remember I like skimmed whole sections of that because it was too scary for me. And I had to like skip over some of the creepiest parts. But I think it goes back to the way they are all processing their trauma. I think that like by profiting off of it, she probably feels like she can control it and like have power over what happened to her by doing all that. I think it's just another version of how they are processing their trauma.
And just I think she spoke some truth to Lynette about human nature. But, and I kind of at first thought she was going to be a kind of comical character, like the baddie girl who lived in the woods. And like it quickly turned very, very dark. And like she was like obsessive in how she coped with it. And it was the dude she lived with was super stinking creepy. But I kind of liked her like added in there. I think I actually enjoyed that little injection of her despite it being another character. Like I think she spoke some things that Lynette needed to hear to kind of like take the next step in her character development.
Yeah, but she brought up again that whole final girl thing of like, you need to complete your character, you need to complete your arc and become a final girl, and you haven't faced it yet, and this is your final girl moment. And then also when she basically saw through Stephanie completely and was like, no, she's a monster, she's not a final girl, let's have her murdered by this man I live with, I think his name is Kevin or something like that, really random.
Or is it Keith? I think it was
Keith.
Yeah.
Might have been Keith.
That's my dad's name, so I remember. Oh. I was like, not a good look for Keiths. Well,
and like, I think the interesting things that she said were actually about like masculinity and femininity and how those play into, I mean, it was a critique on 80s slasher flicks and how women are always the helpless victim and kind of taking back that power, and how men have to like, where men are these murderers because they have to like find this missing piece. I don't know. It was really oddly philosophically injected in there, but I kind of liked the critique it had on 80s slasher flicks.
Yeah. I don't know if I totally agreed with it, but yeah, I like the philosophy behind it.
Right.
I think she said something about like mothers birth the people who then like cull the herd essentially, and like men are culling the herd of like this birthing process. It was really weird, but
right, it was weird, but yeah. I was more interested in that part than like half the rest of the book.
Yeah, I read that all in one sitting because I was like, this is intriguing, scary, creepy, intriguing.
That would be super scary in like a movie, and I'd be waiting for a jump scare every time they went into one of those creepy rooms. And how they like wouldn't even describe Heather's room and stuff. Like, no, thank you.
But is she even profiting off of the murderabilia? Because she's like buying it all up.
She sells other stuff, but she hoards the final girl stuff because it's like she is a final girl. So she's selling like, you know, Ted Bundy and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like she's fixated on the final girl complex, and it's her like weird way of coping, not coping. I don't know.
Yeah, it's strange. But speaking of murderabilia, The ending is that we find out that it was the therapist's son all along that was trying to murder them all or lure them into this area to kill them all, because he's like vengeful against Final Girls because took away his mom and also some weird psychological issues. But I just want to say I saw it coming because he was jacking off to murderabilia websites, and that's always a red flag. And any lady out there knows that that is a red flag. So I knew he was a bad guy all along. What did y'all did you expect Sky, or what did y'all think?
I got the vibes from Sky, like you, when she like walked into his room. I did not expect Stephanie, but yeah, Sky, he seemed creepy from the get-go, and the fact that he was so willing to just go along with everything, I was like, you're involved in this somehow.
Same here. I felt like it had to tie back to Dr. Carroll somehow, because of like just how whoever was doing all of this new stuff about all of them. And I was suspicious that it would be Dr. Like halfway through the book, I was like, it can't be Dr. Carroll. And so it felt like it had to be Sky at that point. So that was not that surprising, but like the weird partnership between him and Stephanie was bizarre. I did not see that coming. I thought that she was just immature and just like, I don't know, kind of crazy because everybody right. in the book is crazy, and she is crazy.
Also recently traumatized because she was the final girl in Adrian, the former final girl's like death.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a weird connection too.
Yeah. I did not expect her to become the reason why Adrian died, and like she was part of the mastermind behind it. And then also this weird relationship / manipulation between her and Sky. Like, I did not expect that at all.
Like, she wanted to be a final girl, but didn't want to be a final girl and wanted to kill all the final girls. And it was, I don't know, her motivations were very confusing to me.
Yeah, she didn't end up murdering anyone, just severely maiming people.
I did not like the end when they all went in to the prison where she was at, and they're like, you're one of us now. I was like, no!
It was super weird, but honestly, was a fitting ending to a weird book.
The ending like made sense. I wasn't surprised by it, but I was just like, what the heck?
And now they're all limping in the prison like, you have to go to therapy with us now.
I was so confused for like the first half of the epilogue. I was just like, where the hell are these girls? Like, where are they? And then they like bring out Stephanie and they're like, welcome to the Final Girl support group. I'm just like, what? Why would you bring in the girl that's trying to murder you into your group?
Well, like, okay. I'm all about forgiveness and reconciliation, but like, that's just a little too far for me.
Can we also, I know we're getting near the end of, but like, along the weird things, when they left Michelle in the park deceased with the old man.
Oh my gosh, we didn't even talk about that. That was so weird. I hated that.
I mean, there are some weird, like, we haven't even touched most of the weird stuff. We've been focused on the plot, but like, the guest house scenes and like the plant and all this stuff, but like they took Danny's dying like wife and jailbroke her from hospice, which was like a sweet thought until she like crapped her pants in the car and they went to change her pants and like she died and they left her in the park with an old man who thought she was still alive and were like fleeing. And I was like, that turned from like kind of a sweet sentiment to really, really atrocious very quickly.
Well, and then Danny got mad at Lynette about it, but I'm like, no, Heather called the cops on her. She couldn't stay.
Yes, that's when I was like, all of these girls are terrible people. I know terrible things have been done to them, but this is terrible that they are doing this right now.
Like, Heather was like starting to redeem herself a little bit, and then that happened. You're like, I don't understand.
Well, then I was so confused because like Marilyn was like so anti that, but then it ended up happening, and just like she left Michelle there and then she was later found with a guy trying to kiss her or something, and it's just like, what the hell?
Well, like, it really did Danny dirty, because not only did they like her wife like died in a park alone basically, and then like Danny ends up in a wheelchair like Julia, like I feel like she just they did her real dirty.
Yeah. I think they were like trying to allow Michelle to like have a peaceful death, but that's not a dignified death. Dying.
No, and they were just gonna leave her in the park. Yeah.
Although to give them credit, Michelle seemed to be happy that she saw the sun one last time or were in a park, and she thought she was at the ranch. So at least, like, she's probably at peace at her death, but it's not dignified after death.
But also, like, who even knows what really happened after that part? Because I was like, wait, we need to rewind, and, like, I need to know what happened to Michelle's body and stuff. Like, I don't know. It just was, like, all of a sudden, all right, now Lynette's in jail or whatever. Like, it was a lot of, like, big switches that you didn't have time to process.
Yeah. A lot of storybook whiplash, to say the least. And that brings me to my final question, which is a very deep question. So sorry, but we're going to go in deep a bit. And
that's
as a
journal- why I wanted to get the, like, weird one in before the end.
Yeah. So as a true crime aficionado, I get a lot of these critiques of the media and critiques of media coverage of events like these. Either it's the hyper-sensationalizing of murder or killings or serial killers, and like this really avid fan following of serial killers and their stories, and it's like a multi-million dollar entertainment industry. So what do you think of, like, these kind of based on a true story? Because even like Scream and some of those slasher films, like, at the beginning they say, like, based on a true story, which to be debated whether or not they really were. What do you think of this industry profiting off of these events and these issues? And is it okay for that to happen?
So I want to bring up along these lines, like, they're already coming out with a Gabby Petito docudrama. And I think that's disgusting. Like, she died, like, less than a year ago. It was all sensationalized. And, like, that's not this girl's story. Like, there's more to her than this series of events. And so that just, I don't know, it kind of drives home that it's kind of like a skeevy business to get into. But at the same time, like, I'm an ex-TV news person. Like, when you hear there's some sort of crime going on, like, your adrenaline gets pumping. It's time to get the story. So, like, the news reports it, and then it just takes it from there. So everyone's just so fascinated with this. Like, I've played my part in it, basically. Not, like, the Hollywood making money off of it thing, but, like, everybody wants to know the story.
Yeah, I think, like, for all the things I wasn't crazy about this book, I thought that that was a really interesting commentary, specifically Adrian's storyline, because, you know, Adrian was the final girl, and then she kind of was the one who advocated for all of the girls to make money off of the movies, you know, because, yeah, their trauma was being exploited by the media and sensationalized, but she, like, fought for them to make money off of that, you know, because of their trauma. Many of them, like, couldn't work and had, you know, physical disabilities and things. But in the end, Adrian was still killed, like, because of, you know, all because of the sensationalized, you know, nature of what had happened. And so I felt like that was interesting. Like, even she who was fighting to kind of, like, make the situation right, it still, like, got her in the end, which I think, yeah, it's just like a commentary on the negativity that it still surrounds, you know, the entertainment factor of, like, these tragic things that happen.
Well, and, like, also out right now receiving a ton of critique, the Jeffrey Dahmer Netflix series that just came out, and the victims' families are, like, appalled. So I don't know, I'm very disgusted when this stuff's based off real things. But also, like, you know, I'll watch a Ted Bundy documentary because it happened long enough ago that it's interesting. But, like, there are still people impacted by those crimes, and turning into, you know, a slasher movie and making fun of it. I don't know. Like, it sits weird when you think about it more than just, like, turning it on.
Yeah, I think because I do like a good true crime documentary. But I like more of the documentary style. I think where you get problems is when you do docudramas and you have, like, really famous actors portraying these serial killers. And yes, Ted Bundy was a very enigmatic serial killer, and that was kind of his charm and why he got away with a lot of things. But at the same time, do we really need Zac Efron playing him and making millions of dollars off of this story that a lot of, and focusing on Ted Bundy instead of the victims? And I think that's, like, where a lot of news journalism and, like, classrooms that I was in studying journalism we're trying to change the narrative of saying, like, stop reporting on the shooter, stop reporting on the killer, report on the victims, and really only report on the killer when court proceedings are going on, and just never mention their name past that. So that's kind of changed around the Parkland era, where we don't really talk about the name of the shooter there. He's on trial right now, so obviously they're talking about his name because the trial's going on. But besides that, they really haven't been reporting his name because that's what they want, is notoriety. So I see where, I really did like where this book was taking this and how they kind of was a critique of the media entertainment industry. But yeah, I also saw there was a YouTuber that was talking, she was a true crime YouTuber, and was talking about this family whose, I think, sister or daughter was murdered, and Hulu or one of these big entertainment companies created a documentary without their permission about the killer, and sort of kind and interviewed the killer but didn't interview any victims' families. Like, he's in prison currently. And so this YouTuber came out and said, I'm going to tell the true story. And she did like a full interview series with this family, and like all the proceeds from her monetization are going towards like family funds or like wherever they want the charity to go. So I think that's where we can make kind of condolences to the families if you are truly engaging with the families instead of just right. reporting.
And I know like there are strides being made. Like when I was in news, I did a in-depth full coverage report on a murder trial that was going on, and I grew up similar age to the victims that were murdered in the same area I grew up in. I know, Caitlin, like, you knew friends of the victims and were in the same area, so like it was really important to me that the community get closure from that, and it was about the victims, not about the murderer, and it was about telling their stories and how long it took for them to get justice. And so I think there are strides being made in media, but not in like the movie industry sense of things. Like, people are still profiting on that aspect of things.
Yeah, I think the entertainment industry needs to do a little bit better, but I at least hope that news is trying their best to do a better job. I know I am, still being in the news industry. I know I'm trying to make strides to make sure that we are focusing on the victims and not the perpetrators, and not giving them the notoriety they so want. But yeah, any final thoughts, guys, on Final Girls?
I think it was just an interesting critique on that exact topic. Like, that was kind of the point of it, was pointing out that these slashers, while like classic, are profiting off of people. It was like a weird way to go about the critique, but
also Grady Hendrix profiting off of this book. Because he's kind of playing into it too. But I appreciate the commentary that he worked into it.
Yes. And it almost feels like it should be like a spoof or a meme, but I think he wrote it completely seriously, so.
Was it not a spoof? I thought it was a spoof.
I don't know. I'm still confused by this book.
I think it was written for people who are fans of the slasher genre.
Like, I think it was just maximizing a trope. I don't know if it was like a spoof.
Yeah. So confusing. Horror. That's this book.
There you go.
Well, here's what's come to be like my favorite part. If you're going to give suggestions to something similar, or if you want something spooky, not to this level, like, do you have any recommendations?
I thought of two. So I was trying to think of books that maybe like have a little bit more of a thriller element. Neither of these I would call horror, because as I mentioned, I'm not really a horror reader. The first one is called My Sister the Serial Killer by Oikenon Braithwaite, I think is how you say her name. It's a very short book. I should have looked it up. I think it's set in Nigeria, and it's told from the perspective of someone that she like learns that her sister is a serial killer, and her sister keeps like asking her to help like clean up the bodies. And so kind of a similar like theme there with the serial killers. If you like that in your books, and you're like trying to figure out like what she's going to do. And so there's also that little bit of a struggle of like good and evil on, you know, like wanting to care for her sister, but now she's like all caught up in all these bad things that her sister's doing. And there's also a lot of humor in it. Even more humor, I would say, than Final Girl Support Group. So check that one out. The other one I thought of is Bel Canto by Ann Patchett. And it's about, it takes place in like a fictional country in South America. They're at, I think it's the vice president's house. They're having like a big party. And so there's all these like famous politicians and celebrities there. And then there are terrorists that like take over the house and they are held hostage. And so it's kind of this like intense situation, but you get a lot. So it's plot driven. Like you want to know what's going to happen. Like, are they going to get released? And so it's like really high intensity, the whole book. And then, but you also like get to know all of these characters and they're sort of like reflecting on their lives as they're, you know, facing potentially being killed as hostages. And I really liked it. I thought it was really good. So I would recommend those two books if you're wanting a similar vibe, but not as gory or violent and not as confusing. Neither of those books were confusing.
Those are good. I like that. You made me think of another one I'm going to add too. I would, if you want kind of the really dark, spooky thing, not my favorite book, but super trendy lately also, The Silent Patient. That's been really popular, has like some suspense and plot twists and is kind of like a dark and gloomy atmosphere. So that's a good kind of suspense thriller you could read. If you want the multiple perspectives trying to figure out the end thing, kind of like you were talking about with Bel Canto, you could read Anxious People, which is way funnier and lighthearted, but like they're all in a hostage situation and you're trying to figure out like who, if anyone, dies and like all this stuff. So I think that's a way more lighthearted, like suspenseful book, because that book was one of my like favorites I've read recently.
I DNF'd that book. Really? And everybody says that it takes a minute to get into it and then it's really good. I feel like I need to give it another chance. I think I quit it at like 15%.
It's similarly not super compelling at the beginning because it's setting up all this stuff and it's also an unreliable narrator. But by the end, I loved it.
That's what everybody says. I need to give it another try, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm realizing I haven't read many books like this. Which there's probably not many books like this, but I just think of Mexican Gothic, which we've already reviewed, so listen to that episode. But I have podcast suggestions if y'all want some. So Serial is a classic one that I think everyone should listen to if you're into true crime. I think it's done really well. It's owned by the New York Times, so it's pretty good. And a lot of recent updates in the case have happened. So check that out. And then Dr. Death by Wondery. It's became a Peacock TV series or a mini series, which I actually like the mini series as well. And I've listened to the podcast. I think it's very interesting of the medical profession and murder / homicide / assault by a doctor. And it's a true story. But it's told,
or just read the news articles on that because they're wild.
It's a really wild story and it's told really well through this podcast. So I definitely recommend giving that a listen because I think it's like something super interesting and like gives
once again people profiting though.
I know, but the podcast,
as soon as you mentioned Dr. Death, I was like, oh, that's one that's a show.
I know. But the podcast at least like talks about, I don't know, the medical system. It's a critique of the medical system and the lack of transparency there. So there's an
active... Name a victim, Catherine. Name a victim.
No, I know I can't. It's been months. It's been a year since I've listened to it. So I can't really. Yeah, I know. I recognize I do listen to some podcasts that could be the questionable
absolutely.
Side of it.
We all do. Yeah.
And then Up and Vanished, which I think does focus on the victim, does not focus on the perpetrator because it is trying to figure out who the perpetrator is. It's unsolved mysteries. So it's definitely more victim based. So to flip that, Up and Vanish is really good. It's got a lot of episodes out there, so it takes a while to listen to, but I've been recommending it to everyone. Payne Lindsay does a great job at that. So,
or if you just want super dark and twisted and scary, but you kind of like that, just like watch Criminal Minds.
I used to watch Criminal Minds in high school, and then I've become more of a wimp as I've gotten older, and now I can't handle it.
I've seen like all of them, which is probably why I'm so desensitized, but
it's coming back. Did you see?
Yes. I'll probably be watching. I can't do like just straight up horror movies, but
I don't think I've seen a single episode of Criminal Minds.
You would like it.
Yeah. I like how it gets wrapped up like at the end of the episode. It's satisfying.
Or similarly, Mindhunters on Netflix, which there's only two seasons of, but really interesting. It's like the creation of the term serial killer and like the psychology behind it, and like I don't know, it's interesting. I enjoyed that also. But yeah, so thank you, Caitlin, for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. And I'm sure we'll have you back sometime because, you know, you're like the origin story of our book club.
I'm your book godmother.
Yes. Book godmother.
I'm glad that I brought us all together to talk about books. You guys were talking about books on your own. We just made it official.
Yeah.
Just like put the pieces together and now there's the Busy Girls Book Club. So we appreciate you hopping on with us. And this is episode 4 of 5 for spooky season. So luckily there are 5 Mondays in October. So you get one more from us, and not to spoil, it's my personal favorite of the month. So we'll catch you next time.
So we want to hear y'all's opinion. So obviously we didn't love this novel, but if you're a horror fan and you really loved it, we want to hear your opinion. We want to hear why you love this novel. So find us on all social medias at Busy Girls Pod. And then we have a Goodreads discussion group, Busy Girls Book Club Podcast, and email us at busygirlspod@gmail.com. And then we also have a website so you can check out what's coming up with us, and also maybe some reading challenges that you can join us along with. And also, if you've listened to the podcast and you've liked it so far, if you could give us a review on wherever you get your podcasts, we would really appreciate it. It could get us more engagement and more people listening, because we want to expand our family and our book club.
Okay, so thanks for listening, and thanks to our special guest. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening, and when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.